Beginning in January of 2002, a total of 779 men were transported to Guantanamo Bay for imprisonment and interrogation. But Major General Michael Leonard, who oversaw Gitmo in the early days, says inmates weren't the only ones coming to that corner of Cuba. Officials from an alphabet soup of agencies also showed up. The CIA, FBI, NSA, British, Israeli, and French intelligence all wanted in on interrogations.
Most stayed less than 24 hours and began to see like coming to Gitmo was as much a part of a resume building exercise as it was any serious attempt to find out what was happening. Politicians from both sides of the aisle took direct flights that had been set up from Washington, D.C. to Guantanamo. It's easy to reach without discomfort or the discomfort of a trip to Afghanistan. You can fly to Gitmo from Washington, D.C. and back again in the same day.
Leonard resented what some politicians had to say.
When a senior senator tells a young soldier, if it was me guarding those bastards, I'd just line them up against a wall and shoot them, it doesn't help to instill a culture of fair and equitable treatment.
Leonard also welcomed the International Committee of the Red Cross to inspect, despite objections from Washington, and he began meeting with a Muslim chaplain, hoping to better understand the detainees.
It was instructive that although we have thousands of Muslims in our military, in the U.S., there are only three Muslim chaplains on active duty at the time. After several weeks, Navy chaplain J.G. Saif al-Islam arrived, and he was invaluable. He was a native Bangladeshi U.S. citizen. He spoke English, Pashto, and Arabic. I told him I wanted him in uniform any time we spoke to the detainees. I wanted the detainees to see that we had Muslim chaplains as well.
The general insisted daily prayers be allowed and ordered halal meals be served to the prisoners. He issued a Quran to each man and paid visits at all hours of the day and night, making sure his directions were followed. In talking with inmates, he drew one common conclusion.
Most of them did not fit into the societies that they came from. I learned about failed marriages, businesses, family relationships. In other words, they were the losers of their society. At least three appeared to be juveniles of about 14. Four were British students who thought it'd be a hoot to fight for the Taliban. And nearly all the detainees who were originally brought in as the worst of the worst have been since released without action.
But during their time at Gitmo, they were angered by interrogations and distraught because no one could say if or when they might be freed.
There was a spontaneous outcry. They threw their sleeping mats outside their cells. The guards wanted to go in and kick some butts. I said, no, that's exactly what they want. The floor will get hard soon enough. It did. And they asked for their sleeping mats back.
When the first hunger strike began, Leonard asked the chaplain what Islam had to say about people starving themselves to death.
He said the Quran forbade suicide. He even got a fatwa or religious opinion from the senior imam in the U.S. to support the injunction against suicide. I spoke to the detainees over the loudspeaker, and eventually we got them to stop the hunger strike and follow the rules.
In our next report, Leonard offers his surprising opinion of what should be done with those prisoners who remain at Guantanamo and shares what he sees as lessons for the future. I'm Sandy Houseman.